Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yahshua, our Messiah. The name of this program is Cross the Border, and I am Nicholas. We are continuing our study here today in Judges. We got all the way to Judges chapter 14, and we started to read about Samson and didn't get too far into that chapter. Before we ran into the end of the hour. So we're just going to backtrack a little bit, a few verses there, and start at Judges chapter 14 and verse 1. And let's jump right in today. Chapter 14 and verse 1. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman of Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughter of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said to him, Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren and among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said to his father, Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. Now, of course, the law required that a man honor his father and his mother. Now, hold on a second. As a matter of fact, one of the Ten Commandments is that, with promise, the only positive of the Ten Commandments, because all of the commandments say, Thou shalt not, except for that one that says to honor your father and mother. And part of the honor was for them, we're going back to Hebrew times, I know this seems repugnant to American romantic society, where the god of relationships is romance, and Ashtaroth, and with all the hearts, and the fertility worship, and the Valentines, and all that. So this, what I say, is somewhat repugnant that parents should choose the mates for their children and to honor their father and their mother and to obey their parents in the Lord, they would allow that. A daughter would not marry a man that was not approved by her father, and a man would not marry a daughter that was not approved by his father. So marriages were arranged, or for the most part, the law allowed for the marriages to be arranged. But we see Samson, he sees a woman of the Philistines, and of course, you know what happens when a young man sees a pretty young woman, he may tend to lust after her. That reminds me of the scripture that you go back to Genesis, where it says the sons of God saw the daughters of men. And what we see is a change in focus there from men that served God, the sons of God, and saw the daughters of men, and they took themselves wives. They were looking on the form, the same thing that Samson is doing here, and worshiping the creature, or the creation, rather than the creator, and rather than looking to the parents and following the law of our Heavenly Father. So Samson says, get her. And I believe that's a problem that a lot of parents have, is they do everything they can to please their children, especially in an age where there is no spanking allowed. Definitely you don't want to use the rod, regardless that the scripture says, spare the rod and spoil the child, because the rod was the implement of punishment used for the backside, and I believe that would be properly placed on the buttocks when the says for the back of him, and because when you're disciplining a child, you don't want to cause any permanent damage. You just want to get the message through. But the rod is the appropriate implement to use on the backside of your child. Now, the modern ones who allow spanking, they say that you should never hit a child with anything but your hand. Well, you don't want your hand to become associated or to be identified as an implement of punishment. So I think the wisdom of the scripture there is correct to use another object. And that way, because your hand is always attached and you can use your hand to strike out in anger. And then anytime you raise your hand or you come near your child with your hand, you have that implement of punishment attached to you. You can't put it off. So there's more wisdom in using a rod or a stick, or some people call it the board of correction, as the scripture prescribes. And that way you have to think before you go pick it up. And that way, when the child sees it, that they know what it is, and they don't fear the punishment until they see the implement of punishment. So a little more has to go on there, and the association is not with the hand of the parent, but rather with the rod of punishment. And it takes some thought. They have to earn it. The parent at least has to think enough to go get it. And that way, no rash punishment or out of or thoughtless anger is administered by the hand. Anyway, just something that goes contrary to the wisdom or the spirit of the age. But getting back to Samson, is now bossing his parents around, and it seems his father is meekly saying, they should have said no, at least by my way of thinking. But let's read on. Then his father and mother said to him, why do you have to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said to his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. And that's pretty much the end of the argument. Though it grieved his parents, I guess they went and got her, because that's what happened. It says, but his father and mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Oh, so is God making an exception in his law here? No, his law was still broken. And it was from him that the Heavenly Father will use our circumstances, our lack of discipline, for his purpose. You know, the scripture says that in Romans 8:28, and everyone should have this one memorized, Romans 8:28 and on, that we know that all things work together for good to those that love God, for those that are called according to his purpose. And it goes on, because for who he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his only begotten Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. But what is that saying? Does it say that everything that happens to us, that all things work together? It doesn't mean that all things are his will, or that everything that happens is lawful according to his law, but it means that even our weaknesses he uses for his purpose. And I see that every man that he used had weaknesses and had faults, like Samson, like me, like you. But he's going to take all those things in our life, all those things that were in Samson's life, and he's going to use them for good for those of us who love our Heavenly Father and are called according to his purpose. So we know that all things work for good. Now, as I often say, that for those that don't love God, things ain't going to work out for their good, unfortunately. And that's a warning and a call for all of you people that don't love him. Perhaps you better repent, and you better get on your knees and you cry out to the Heavenly Father for mercy. Say, I have sinned. I have lived a life that's contrary to your will and your law, and what pleases you, teach me how to love you. And there's a prayer that he will answer, a prayer of true repentance, and a cry that says, I want to keep that first and great commandment that says to love you, to love the Lord your God, as it says in the Authorized King James Version, with all your heart, with all your soul. And then the second one is like unto it when Yahshua, that is Jesus, was asked, what is the great commandment? And he said the second one is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you don't get that first one first, you can't do the second one in a way that's pleasing to God, because you can love your neighbor selfishly too. And thinking about yourself, there's the wrong way to love your neighbor and there's the right way to love your neighbor. The way the world loves the neighbor is to steal from one and give to another. And of course, the homosexuals, they have their idea of what it means to love your neighbor as yourself. So unless you get the loving God first, you can just forget about loving your neighbors yourself, because no matter what you do, it's going to be wrong. The intent of your heart is going to be wrong. You know, not that giving to the poor and to good charities is wrong, but the intent of your heart in giving will rob you of any reward in heaven if you skip the first commandment and the first part of that commandment, and that is to love our Heavenly Father and desire, because to love Him is to truly have a desire to live a life that is pleasing to Him, and then acting upon that desire by finding out what is pleasing to Him and repenting of the things that do not please Him, and to start practicing righteousness, those things that please Him. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness. Because if you don't seek and His righteousness, you won't find His kingdom. You know, just look for the clues. They're all there. And don't accept any counterfeit kingdoms of heaven on earth that include socialist schemes where you rob one to give to another and you love your neighbor in lust. Those are all counterfeits. And they lead to destruction and hellfire forever. Let's continue with Samson, our story here. And but his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he had sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. And the spirit of Yahuwah, and of course it's the name of our Creator there in the Textus Receptus, and translated the Lord in the Authorized King James Version. So the spirit of Yahuwah came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand. So here's Samson, he had nothing, no weapon in his hand. And this mighty lion comes on him, and he grabs him, and he rents him. And to rent something means to tear it. And he tore it as he would have rent a kid with nothing in his hand. But he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. And after a time he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. Very interesting. What could it mean? And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating, and came to his father and mother and gave them, and they did eat. And he told them not that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. So his father went down unto the woman, and Samson made there a feast, for so used the young men to do. And it came to pass, when they saw him, that they brought 30 companions to be with him. And Samson said to them, I will now put forth a riddle unto you, if you can certainly declare it me within the 7 days of the feast, and find it out, then I will give you 30 sheets and 30 change of garments. But if you cannot declare it unto me, then you shall give me 30 sheets and 30 change of garments. And they said unto him, put forth thy riddle, that we may hear it. And he said unto them, out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. And they could not in 3 days expound the riddle. And it came to pass on the 7th day that they said unto Samson's wife, entice thy husband, that he may declare unto us the riddle, lest we burn thee and thy father's house with fire. Have you called us to take that we have? Is it not so?" Well, that's kind of archaic in the English there, even though they somewhat tried to clarify it with the Authorized Version. Is it not so? So Samson, he does something that probably nobody has ever done or seen, and he makes a riddle out of it. And of course, who could guess the riddle? I would never be able to guess it. And these guys kind of hastily take up his challenge before hearing the riddle. It's kind of a foolish thing to do. But listen to how diabolical these people are. "We're going to burn your family with fire." You know, over what? Well, 30 changes of garments and 30 sheets. And, you know, that's fairly great riches in Samson's day. I mean, all cloth was handmade, and somebody had to make that cloth. And, yeah, that would cost them dearly. But it goes to show you what the god of the Philistines was truly mammon, and how they worshiped things. And their desire for things, well, it's much like in the land where I live today. People value things much higher than everything else. I just recalled that verse, "Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness," and that is to do those things which please our Heavenly Father that are right in his sight. And he goes, and the scripture verse goes on, "And all these things shall be added to you." And of course, all these things, if you go back to the prior verse and in the text there, it says, "After all these things, do the Gentiles or the nations seek?" And in context, it's the other nations other than Israel, and really other than his holy people, because Israel at that time, national Israel, was in great sin and great abomination, and such abomination that it brought about the desolation of Jerusalem, that was foretold by Daniel the prophet, but that gets way off of our topic. But, you know, I grew up in a land here where you're schooled. You grew up with the television, the boob tube, and many children spend much of their time in front of the boob tube, watching the commercials that teach you to lust after things as if it's normal, and it becomes normal. Then you have to have the things. And then, of course, they have their unjust weight balance monetary system, and you can become a card-carrying member of that you can take part in that and on-demand part of the creative force of that abominable system by getting the things you lust for, signing a note. They'll create the money for you, and you can have it, whatever you lust after, right? All of those things that the world promises. Now, we have need of things. We need shelter. We need a mode of travel, perhaps. We need food, and we need clothing. And our Heavenly Father, through His Son, said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness, and all of the things that you need will be added to you." He's saying, "I will take care of you. You seek my kingdom. Don't worry about the things. I got it covered." But after all these things, do the heathen or the ungodly seek? And that's what these guys were seeking. Because, you know, wherever your treasure is, there your heart is also, to borrow another verse from our Messiah. Well, you can see where these guys' hearts were. They did not want to part from the goods of this world, from the things of this world, so much so that they threaten to burn this gal's family with fire if she doesn't find out the riddle, so that they don't have to suffer the damage of losing 30 garments and 30 sheets. So they say this to her. It said, "Entice thy husband that he may declare unto us the riddle, lest we burn thee and thy father's house with fire. Have you called us to take that we have?" So you brought us, you married this guy, you called us to a wedding, and now you're going to take that we have. It shouldn't be so. And Samson's wife wept before him and said, thou dost but hate me and lovest me not. Thou hast put forth a riddle unto the children of my people and hast not told me. And he said to them, behold, I have not told it my father or my mother, and shall I tell it to thee? And she wept before him 7 days, while their feast lasted. And it came to pass on the seventh day that he told her, because she lay sore upon him. And she told the riddle to the children of her people. And the men of the city said unto him in the seventh day before the sun went down, what is sweeter than honey? And what is stronger than a lion? And he said unto them, if you had not plowed with my heifer, you had not found out my riddle. He gives them another riddle, which is the answer is obvious there. He speaks in a riddle, I should say. And the spirit of Yahuwah came on him, and he went down to Ashkelon. And we'll find out in our next segment what happened when he went down to Ashkelon. You're listening to Cross the Border. We're going through the book of Judges in chapter 14 and verse 9. That's where we'll pick up when we get back.